morning.
Yeah.
So have you guys, has anyone here ever been sick?
Yes.
Yes, you've been sick. I know you've been sick. I went to pick you up at school one day. Yes, so you've been sick.
My sister.
Did you help it? Was there anything you could do?
My sister was sick. I was sick.
You were sick? You're both sick? Sometimes we just get sick, right? And there's nothing we can do. We can just take the time to get better and take our medicine, maybe see a doctor, right?
I had sick in it.
Oh my goodness, I'm sorry. Oh my goodness. Lots of sick kids around here. So, when I was little, we used to joke about another kind of sickness called mental illness. We used to say someone was crazy. We used to make fun of that. Well, I have learned as an adult that that is not appropriate because mental illness is just like any other sickness. If you get mental illness, you go to a doctor. You take your medicine and you do what you can to get better. And I bet that you all know some people who struggle with mental illness. You might not know it because often people don't talk about it. But some, can you imagine always being sad? Or always feeling anxious? That would be really hard. So one of the things about mental illness is that we can all be helpful by being kind and supportive of people. Hey, gentlemen. Thank you. Maybe we shouldn't bring toys up here in the future. So if you know somebody or sometime you feel like you might have mental illness, I would ask that you talk to someone about it, okay?
There's a whiteness in God's mercy like the whiteness of the sea. There's a kindness in God's justice which is more than liberty. There is welcome for the sinner and more graces for the good. There is mercy with the Savior, there is healing in His blood. I remember the first time I consciously experienced mercy in my life. I had just turned 4. My mother was in the kitchen making salad, so she sent me out to her beautiful garden to pull 3 green onions from the long rows of onions that edged one side of her garden. I was raised on a farm. I knew what to do in a garden. The day was clear and beautiful. The warm, moist, black soil of the garden felt delicious underneath my bare feet. With only a gentle tug, the earth released the tasty, tender plants. The soil made a delightful schloopy noise as thread-like roots snapped, loosing the tiny bulb and the stalk. Soon I had 3 onions clutched in my hot little hand. But then I lost my 4-year-old mind. Pulling up onions must have become part of some sort of imaginary adventure I was having, merrily dancing my way through the garden, Before long, I had pulled up each and every one of my mother's onions and laid them neatly on the ground. In my memory, there were hundreds of onions. I was yanked from my sloopy onion-pulling, dirt-covered reverie by the sound of my mother screaming, "Stop!" as she ran toward me across the yard, my baby brother bouncing in her arms. I knew I was in trouble, although I was only four. I knew I should have known better. I hung my head and handed my mother her three onions, still in my hand. She was silent for what seemed like forever, and then said, "Go. Play with your sister before I do and say things that a mother shouldn't do and say." We learn about God's justice and God's mercy through our everyday experiences. Jesus understood this, so he told parables that spoke to the experiences of those listening to him. He told stories about the things that his people valued, like sheep and silver coins. He told stories about rejoicing when what was lost was found. A New York Times travel article on pubs in Oxford, England, described a good pub as a ready-made party, a home away from home, a club anyone can join. We can imagine Jesus in our gospel sitting in such a pub, eating and drinking with anyone, to the disgust and chagrin of the local religious authorities. The scribes and Pharisees grumble because Jesus talked like he knew about God, yet he insisted on cavorting with the dregs of society. Jesus sought out and welcomed those who were considered unfit for a relationship with God. Jesus responded to the grumbling by telling a series of lost and found parables. Who is in and who is out? Who is lost? And what does it mean to be found? Jesus actually shared with the scribes and Pharisees a common attitude towards tax collectors and sinners, namely that tax collectors and sinners were lost. What the parables point out is the sharp contrast between Jesus and the religious authorities on God's attitude towards the lost. The scribes and Pharisees believed God had no interest in the lost. They were out. Jesus, on the other hand, said, God is like a shepherd who values each sheep in his flock, like a woman who accounts for every coin in her purse. God treasures every child in the family. God searches tirelessly for anyone and everyone who becomes lost. I regularly talk to people who have little or no experience with mercy in their lives. Their memories are of punitive, often brutal childhoods. They cannot imagine themselves as ones beloved and sought after by God. They struggle to see God as a good shepherd. This is a problem. Jesus taught that God's justice is mediated through God's mercy. What if you have no concept of mercy? What does that do to your understanding of God's justice? How do we help others experience God's mercy? Bearing God's mercy in the world requires us to ignore the scribe and the Pharisee who lurk in our subconscious and whisper things like, "He doesn't deserve mercy. That child can do nothing right." Or, "Cut your losses. Fire her." Offering mercy as a sign of God's justice comes at a personal cost. Being merciful and offering hope requires us to be both courageous and vulnerable. Last week, I was sitting in a doctor's office waiting room at Andrews Air Force Base, and a chance encounter with an Air Force captain and a DC police officer turned into a conversation about suicide. The pharmacy at Andrews was overrun because they had been closed for a day for an Air Force-wide conversation about suicide. Last year, the suicide rate doubled in the Air Force. And so a conversation about a packed hospital lobby turned into a conversation about suicide. The DC cop chimed in. Did you know that a police officer is more likely to die of suicide than they are to be killed in the line of duty? Suicide is now the leading cause of death among police officers. Both the Air Force captain and the DC cop knew people who had committed suicide in the last year. September is Suicide Awareness and Prevention Month. Worldwide, someone completes suicide, every 40 seconds. For every one person that completes suicide, four people attempt suicide. Stunning, right? And yes, I said completes. Complete suicide has replaced commits suicide and is now the accepted medical term. For the phrase acknowledges that suicide is a process, the terminal part of a disease. While women attempt suicide at higher rates, men between the ages of 45 and 75 have the highest rates of suicide completion. Suicide rates are rising fastest among young people between the ages of 15 and 24. They have risen 30% in the last 3 years. The Centers for Disease Control have declared suicide an epidemic in the United States. Those who wrestle with suicidal ideation and those who have attempted suicide talk about feeling like they are lost in a tunnel, where the only light, the only hope they can see is ending their own life. Their experience is very hard for most of us to understand, for we simply cannot imagine that type of despair. Some people display symptoms, talking about death, feeling worthless, increased substance use, giving away things that had previously held great meaning to them, to name a few, while others give no indication that they are contemplating taking their own lives. This is where we come in. There are two things we can do. First, if you are someone who struggles with suicidal ideation, you are not alone. Talk to someone. You are loved. I love you. God loves you. We will find you help. Second, in the course of your life, you will meet someone who is suicidal. If something sounds off, get curious, ask questions. You will not put any new ideas in their head if you ask, "Are you thinking about hurting yourself?" If they say yes, stay with them until you can get help. These conversations require courage and vulnerability. What about being found? Is there a personal cost associated with that? To get back into my mother's good graces, I had to take the chores assigned to me a little more seriously. I could pretend to be a garden fairy all I wanted, but a responsible garden fairy would never uproot an entire crop. For my friend, who has spent much of her adult life feeling she'd be better off dead, well, she has had to face down the demons of a childhood of abuse every day. The cost of being found is a willingness to change, a willingness to be found. Jesus told these stories to emphasize that God's compassion encompasses all people, including the lost. But God's compassion is not the primary theme of these stories, or even Jesus' primary motivation in telling them. Joy and celebration are the highlight of both of these parables. Each story ends with a statement that there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, a celebration for the person who changes direction and takes a new path. In Luke's gospel, Jesus portrays living God's will as being joy-filled. We are to live like we have a party in our hearts. Jesus wants all of us to join in the celebration. Whether we join the celebration or not is all important because it reveals whether our relationships are based on merit or whether they are based on mercy. Do we love because someone deserves to be loved? Or do we love because it is what Christians are called to do? For the love of God is broader than the measure of the mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. If our love were but more faithful, we should take him at his word, and our life would be thanksgiving for the goodness of the Lord.
Amen. Turning to the middle of page 7, please join me in standing as you are able as we celebrate our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Polar region and temperature.
mercy, and peace. Lead us away from the idols of power, war, self-centeredness, and fear. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Show mercy to the lost. Welcome to the outsiders. They come to the suffering and dying. We pray for all of who need your healing and constant presence. We pray especially for those on our prayer list. Carl, Dana, Shaw, Lois, Erica, Autumn, Elizabeth, Lynn, Faith, Geneva, Catherine, Jim, Carl, and Claudette, and those who remember now either silently or aloud. Lord, in your mercy. Strengthen those who work with people in crisis, firefighters, police officers, hospital staff, chaplains, nurses, doctors, emergency responders, staff and counselors in rehab centers and women's shelters. Give them wisdom and compassion so that those in need are well supported and cared for. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for the beloved sheep of your fold who have died and who now find life in your eternal glory. We remember especially the Deborah Boozer, niece of Clarence and Jean Gunter. Embrace us as we hope and rejoice in your unfailing redemption. Lord, in your mercy.
Assured by your promise to hear us, we lay our prayers before your throne of grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.